You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to The Breakfast Table, the geekiest podcast you will hear today, hopefully. Otherwise, I'm sorry for whatever you had to go through earlier.
Hey guys, this is Darshan.
How's it going? It's Ferris.
And my name is Brad, and I'm your host, and today we are here to talk about VR. So, last weekend, the big VR movie, Ready Player One, hit theaters and is a raging success. But, is that reality actually real? Is it actually possible, more or less? Because there has been a huge leap in VR technology in just the past 5 years or so, versus any time, really, because VR was something that was steadily trying to pick up back in, like, the 90s for a little bit, but the technology just was not there.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that one show, Johnny Quest World?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the virtual reality world that his, like, father put together. It was, like, a reboot on Johnny Quest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was my, like, first intake on the virtual reality world and, you know, what it was capable of growing up as a child.
Was it reboot?
Yeah,
reboot is virtual reality.
Yeah, and that's like literally what I thought it was and what it was going to turn out to be. It's like, yeah, it goes from this boring 3D lifestyle to vivid mechanical colors.
I think the same studio that did Reboot did Beast Wars too.
Yeah, yeah, it was definitely, yeah. So,
yeah, that perfect, the blocky 3D, you know.
Animatronics.
Yeah, everybody looks like a robot except for their face, which is super hyper realistic for the time.
I think, was it Beast Wars was the first time we saw Optimus with lips?
Yes.
All that stuff was ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo tried to get in on it with, was it the Virtual Boy?
The
that
Virtual
like,
Boy.
That was like the first I virtual
have one
console.
Of those. I have a Virtual Boy. I caught under the craze.
And it was
Yeah, using
I think
it was unique.
Ferris, you stopped by my house and like I showed it off proudly. I'm like, you want to see my video game collection? Here's my Virtual Boy.
That is the second like Virtual Boy I've seen outside of a sales shop somewhere, and I was like, why does it keep getting sold? What's going on here? So
it's just that one Virtual Boy. Everybody just keeps rotating it around you.
Yeah, it's like I have a big military. Look, I keep moving it around to different places. Hello, Benito.
But yeah, and then that virtual reality was just two colors, red and black.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I remember playing that thing and like I'd be playing like Mario Tennis and going at it. And, you know, I'd be staring at that thing for like 30 minutes and then take it off my eyes and I'd just be so disoriented. It was crazy.
Because that's not natural. It's like getting a laser pointer shot into your eye. So
also, you had to like kind of sit because it couldn't be strapped to your face. It had to sit on a table,
on a
so you had to kind of like lean down, and then the controller was actually wired into it too, so.
Yeah, it took like six AAA batteries, and
I was going to say, it definitely couldn't be like, you know, it was too good of an idea to power it into a wall.
Yeah.
You had to choose AAAs of all batteries.
Oh, not AAA, AA,
No, I was going to say at least AAs.
Yeah.
At least it's not D batteries.
Two D batteries.
So, yeah.
3D batteries.
3D batteries.
In regards to VR, VR is just like so hot right now. Oh, my God. It's just so hot. It's just crazy hot.
Such.
I mean, right now we have how many companies with their own VR headsets? We have Oculus with the Rift.
Mm-hmm. We have HTC with the Vive.
Yep. And then we have Sony with the PlayStation VR.
Samsung.
Samsung is a little bit weird.
It's technically like an Oculus IFT. Like, it's still made by Oculus, like their headsets.
Yeah, because it's where it uses your phone as the hardware. So it's basically just a headset that your phone just kind of plugs into.
Projects video onto.
Let's break it down for our listeners real quick. They're basically called head-mounted displays, HMDs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the two major ones are Samsung's VR, and then we have the Google Cardboard, which is the greatest thing ever. It's literally just a cardboard cutout that you fold into being a box that your phone slides into.
Yeah, you could get them a couple of bucks online.
They were giving them away for free.
They're like $30. Like originally when the Pixel came out, it's like, hey, look what our new Google iPhone can do.
Honestly, it's like a really good, like, cheap gift to give to somebody like, for Christmas, like a coworker or something. It's really simple, but you just install the Google stuff on it and you could be flying around like Superman on Google Maps into the sky and zoom down and check out all your favorite cities. And then you can enable 3D and see all the buildings in 3D. It's really fun.
Yeah. Being able to actually go into that virtual reality, which one of the things that most people jump into with virtual reality, especially if they have like Google Cardboard or the Samsung VR, is the 360 videos.
Yeah. So – yeah, just so people don't get confused, 360 videos are basically like immersive videos where all the directions around you are recorded at the same time. And then when the viewer views it, they have the option of choosing which direction to see, what angle.
Yeah. And then definitely one of the first ways, like anyone's probably ever been introduced to it. Like if you've ever seen a Google car in your local town, they're taking not 360 video, but at least photos.
Oh, like
everything.
Streets?
Yeah. So yeah. Like when they're doing Google Street View and all that, like the unfortunate people have to drive through Detroit when they're doing that. But they're taking 3D models of everywhere they go. So that's why you can look up and down the street. That's why you can see, you know, someone's backyard, weirdly enough, kind of stuff. So it's one of the first times everyone has been
introduced. Yeah, at least they like do the decency of like blurring out your face in those things.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
If they catch it, they do it.
I think there's like websites totally dedicated to this stuff, like Caught in Action.
Or memes. There's a subreddit. It might be gone now, but there was a subreddit dedicated to catching things that Google didn't blur out in those street views, like people's license plates and like ID information and, you know, people's faces on the streets. A lot of them in New York City, actually. I remember that. Yeah, because it just would
super
corrupt
popular.
The algorithm. Yeah. And then with the Samsung VR headset, the cool thing is it's actually kind of like head tracking. So when you're moving your head, that's where you see the image. Right. So it's not that you have a controller that you're moving around or anything like that. You also have a controller to be able to use as kind of like a clicker and stuff.
Well, for someone who owned a Samsung VR, right when the S8 came out, that was the second iteration of the Samsung VR.
Yes.
The first one was, it was, let's say, a trying time.
First one was not good.
It kind of did that. It was like weird because like I would like to – I always used to lay down and do it so I could watch on Netflix while I'm going to bed or something like that. And it was weird because it would do like – let's say 180 maybe of what you're looking at. And then if you look a little bit to the left, it's like, oh, what? That's darkness. That's eternal darkness right there. And it's just like they've come a long way with it for sure. Like, and I like the fact that like Samsung has a lot of like adaptability with it because they have a lot of different apps that now work with it. You can actually use like native apps on your phone, like MX Movie Player or something like that on your Android phone, and you can watch videos in VR that way. So yeah, like –
plus, there's just generally more content now than there used to be.
Yeah.
Not even like a year ago or 2 years ago. Like there's, you know, streaming networks that do just pure VR online.
There's
like on demand.
There's virtual reality like music shows that happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who will just go there and like they'll
like
be –
like concerts?
Yeah. Like there's actually a big
kind
thing.
Kind of like a Fathom Events type of thing, but with the concert?
No. Yeah. What it is like they'll do it for if it's like a really popular artist and like let's say they want to broadcast it everywhere, like a theater will rent it out. But then everyone who will go in will have a Samsung VR put on their face and they have headphones they put on and then they can see – it from the view that they're like right at the front row because they'll have cameras that will look at everything they're doing. Yeah. It's actually – it's pretty unique. It's something that just started happening. Just like silent nightclubs. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
Yeah, I remember
I've
those.
I've heard about silent nightclubs. It's when you go to like a nightclub and you wear headphones. And
that's the music.
And that's the music and they're not playing like outside music. It's just in the headphones. I haven't been to one, but I'm curious.
Just imagine trying to pick someone up there. Just like taking off. It's like, wow, sold out. Oh. Hi, I'm Steve. So –
or forgetting to take the headphones off and being like, hi, hold on, wait. Oh, okay. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Yeah.
I think the issue with most of these headsets today, I mean, for me personally, is like the hardware is slowly getting there. I mean, you have from the Android perspective, like you said the Samsung 8. I mean, the 7. I know the 8 had the Snapdragon 835 processor in there. And now in the S9, it's the 845, and they have like AR chips embedded in them now that take advantage of the virtual reality, you know, processing necessary. So it's kind of easier on the chip. And plus, it doesn't get literally physically as hot when you're using it. I don't know if you ever noticed that, but when you're playing with VR on your phone in a mounted headset, it just
– I think it's hot. I think the most innovative thing Samsung could have done with their VR was – excuse me. They put a charger into it. So you could plug your headset in and it would charge your phone while you were using it. Because that's the original cool. one, it did have a harness
yeah,
when you plugged
dude,
it in.
It kills the power on your phone.
Now you can actually plug a cable into the side of it, like your charge cable, and you'll actually be able to charge your phone in there. Now it's very, very small and very minuscule in what you're charging, but at least it was enough to – you took it out of there. Your phone wasn't dead or
yeah.
very close to it.
I mean, you're doing full nits of brightness. You're doing the highest resolution. Mm-hmm. It's always on and you're keeping the video playing. It's
yeah.
just like – can't get any more power hungry on your phone than that.
Exactly.
You yeah. got to power those pixels. You know,
especially if you're going to be watching like Netflix or something like that. By the time you finish a 2-hour movie, your phone's being going to be
you're lucky
dead.
If you watch that 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Not with the S8.
You want to talk about that thing that just came up from Plex on the VR?
Yeah, that's something that I actually want to do. I actually have the Samsung VR. I got it for free when I picked up my S8. And I haven't had a chance to do the Plex theater app yet, but I remember using something similar to it before to watch kind of like free streaming things from Nickelodeon, of all places, was one of the things supported. So I remember watching The Legend of Korra in like a VR theater kind of thing. It was kind of cool.
That's
and
cool.
It's like you're in an actual theater. Like if you take the headset off, you have that moment of, oh, I'm still in my bedroom here. Hold on a minute.
Like, is it something like how, I don't know if you remember Netflix on Xbox on 360?
Yeah, it's like,
is it just
that,
like that,
but attached to your face.
I was
so
wondering,
it looks like you're in the theater.
Okay, and you could like see it with a friend if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to get into was that, yeah, it's cool. You could, it's like you're sitting in a virtual couch and you got like the, it looks like the Nintendo Mii version of you sitting next to you,
yeah.
like your buddy, and you're watching a movie together. And there's like a little – there's like a table in front of you, like mm-hmm. a little popcorn bucket. And you can like, I guess, throw things at the screen. And
that was a untapped market that Microsoft had there, because I watched quite a bit of Netflix back in like 2009 and 2010.
Yeah,
with that, yeah.
They advertised it as being able to like sync with friends and watch it together yeah. and everything like that. And it was like, this is amazing. And then they stopped doing it for some reason.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. You know what? That's hilarious, because I remember a funny story between Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, the co-founder of Microsoft, who, you know, eventually they did the Xbox. They used to live like apart, or they were separated while they were, you know, still going out. And they would both watch movies together but in separate theaters, and then like call each other on the phone and just talk about it.
I could believe,
you know what I mean,
Bill Gates being one of the few people with a cell phone going, I'm just
well, this is like 1970s. It was no cell phone then. This is like, you know,
they also got home, dialed the rotary phone,
you know in the same town, but you know, they would have something to talk over the phone. It's kind of like the modern version of that. It's like, it's watching movies with your friends, you know, from a distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to try out the Plex one so bad. I keep
yeah.
every time I go to do it, I completely forget what I'm doing. Because as soon as I put on the VR headset, I instantly go, and oh, there's that space game. I gotta play that. And then I completely forget that I was gonna watch a movie.
I just can't believe Samsung got me to buy Minecraft on my phone. Because I bought it because you could play it in VR. It was one of the first games that was supported for mobile VR. And, you know, it has the update where you can play with anyone. So it's like, oh, yeah, I'll play with you on PC. Yeah, I'm going to get my phone, though.
With my one controller that, you know, yeah. kind of sometimes picks up. And because I've had that problem with the controller with my VR. I don't yeah. know if you ever had that problem where it just
worked.
Wouldn't pick up where you were pointing
never.
Sometimes.
It just never worked.
Yeah, it's close, but no cigar.
But speaking of gaming on headsets, we gotta get to the gaming headsets, like, you know, the Oculus Rift and also the HTC Vive.
Yes.
And the skyrocket that VR chat, if everyone remembers. I don't want to mention the meme because I don't want to give it any more hype than it already has. But there was a specific meme with a red individual that caused the HTC Vive. I had quite a few friends buy Vives and Rifts just to play it with that game.
Really?
Yes. I had a friend who his taxes were buying HTC Vive. And it's like, dude, what? You're going to play it once. You're going to play it once. Your computer can barely handle this.
Is this like the new Virtual Boy, Ferris?
Yeah. No, it's not a new Virtual Boy. It's just that, like, people were buying headsets, which, I mean, I guess it's cool that a a meme caused people to buy new technology. But like a lot of people were also exposed to the scam that the Vive is.
Yeah. Hey, Ferris. Yeah. Why don't you tell a little word to the wise to those that are interested in buying an HTC Vive and what happens a little bit?
Well, it's actually with both of them. So it's with the HTC Vive and also the Oculus Rift. So out the box, both of them are very playable, especially with the Oculus Rift and its new like touchscreen like or touch-enabled controllers that are kind of like the Vive ones. They're both very playable out the box, but the weird thing is that he put them in a weird cone. It's like you have like a weird like 45-degree cone that you get with two stands with each one of them. But to get a full like experience where you're completely within like a 90-degree box.
And what are the two cones do? They give you like
a 45-degree cone.
The X and Y angles, yeah, right? When you're staring, you know, with the
yeah, it's like literally HMD gives you like you. It gives yeah. you your like your left and your right, and like you have to fall into the weird overlap of the let's say the Venn diagram of it.
So you need like the Z. Yeah.
You need the Z to keep you going. And it's weird because you're already paying arm and a leg for them. Like I think the Vive is I want to say $500. And then you're paying another like $80 or $90 just so you can have that final cone. So that way when you're playing something, you don't drop out of it.
Yeah. So you're basically looking at $600 just to get things going the right way. Yeah. And they don't tell you that initially you're paying $500 up front and then you're trying to do like VR chat, but then you need that third cone.
Yeah. And then
and it's like $80 more and you got to get it.
And then the big scam too. So like it's not a scam rather. Just PCs in general are just you need to have a computer that's easily – $1,000 to even be able to, I would say, play any form of VR comfortably where you're not going to have any stutter or at least play the games you want to play on it. Like the GPUs are what the big thing is going to hurt your price on it. So like was it any 10 series NVIDIA card you can easily play any form of VR whatsoever. It's just a lot of people had a rude awakening with that.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Yeah, no. I do like the accessibility that the PlayStation VR gives.
And the thing is, too, is how it's going to be so hard to find something that's good GPU-wise because it's all going to those crypto mining operations now.
Yeah, it's going to crypto mining.
They're going up in price every day, it seems like.
You can't even get RAM now.
You can't get RAM. Like $200. Oh, my God.
For 16 gigs, yeah. It's like I can just go buy, I guess, a 256 gig, like, gig SSD from Samsung for that price or RAM. Whichever one's more your fancy, I guess.
Or you just go buy a new PS4 and PlayStation VR.
Exactly. And like that, speaking of that, like it's just that system's so accessible. Like a lot of people like to get into VR, even for a gaming concept, you're going to spend easily like $1,400 to $1,500 depending on what your budget really is. And that's just to play something VR related. That's not even just like getting into it for other means. But like with the PlayStation VR – is so cheap. Like, what is it? You can get the whole setup with a game for like $350, and then you can get a system for about like a system that's made for VR for $400. You can get the whole shebang for $700.
Yeah, there's two versions. It's like the Pro, right?
Well, it's just set for the PS4. Like the PS4 regular works with it, but the Pro is the one that's like meant for it.
It's optimized for VR.
Yeah, it's the one that's 4K.
It's Resident Evil 7. Yeah. Name drops. Resident Evil 7 is the reason why people had to get pros because the game would stutter at the best points, the juicy points, if you will. So,
yeah, because I remember when they first came out with Killzone 3, and that was the one where you can use the Move controller with it. And I remember playing that game with that and going, oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. I want a Killzone game in pure VR with the Move controller. You might not see me for a week.
A week? Just a week?
Well, those games are not very long. That's why only a week.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm waiting for VR technology to still catch up. It's not there yet to me. To me, it's still
– It's still buggy.
It's still buggy to me. It's kind of like a – it's a bit of a gimmick. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's not there yet to be like a utility for people, you know, like a resource. It's just like – kind of like entertainment, you know, in a way. But and the reason why mostly is because the eye tracking technology, I keep telling you guys for weeks now, the eye tracking technology involved with like, for example, automatically measuring your pupillary distance and being able to perceptibly give you the right, you know, location in regards to your eyes, you know, reducing the disorientedness that you would get from playing in VR. That kind of stuff hasn't really been implemented yet in these systems. I just saw in CES this year some headsets made by a couple companies that do eye tracking of that sort. Mm-hmm. I know, Brad, you were telling me your PC has some sort of eye tracking on
it. Yeah, with my Alienware, they have the little eye tracking thing. So they'll actually, mm-hmm. if you're playing a game, it'll dim out parts of the screen you're not looking at. So it puts full focus on whatever you're trying to look at. And it tracks your eyes and it'll adjust whatever you're looking at on the screen accordingly.
You know, what is it? The Division, which is a very ambitious game. Let's say that. It actually, on PC, I actually noticed this recently when I was playing it. It has a mode for eye tracking, which is something like for a game that was so, I guess, big and no one really knew about it. Like, it has eye tracking. It has something where like you can literally put it in and it will move the camera to where your eyes are looking.
Huh.
So it actually like you don't have to keep moving your camera if you don't want to. And even like games like Overwatch will let you do it too. Like there's some pros that I like when they do their streams and stuff like that, they will put up a camera that tracks where their eyes are going on the screen and it will show like red dots to where they're looking at all times just to kind of give you an idea of where you should be looking if you want to get better and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea about that.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's the same system my computer has where it can actually – you can do a replay of the game and it'll tell you where you were looking and where you should have been looking.
Yeah.
And it's a cool feature. I used it all of 2 times.
Right.
First time to test it, second time to show somebody else, and that's been it.
You know, actually, Nintendo has that in their systems.
Yeah, for like the 3DS, right?
The 3DS, yeah. Because like the problem with the 3DS is that the original one, or before they reiterated the system, is that it had a sweet spot issue where you had to be looking at a specific spot from a correct distance for the 3D to work.
And that's what I feel about these current VR headsets today, these HMDs, is that they have that kind of feel to them.
Mm-hmm. It's very phase one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of guinea pig work right now.
Yeah. And I don't know how they're going to be able to fix that on mobile. I can see that happening in the next maybe, 4 years.
I would say maybe like the next 2 years of Samsung trying to do something crazy. Mm-hmm. We'll get maybe that phone that will do it.
Yeah.
So.
But when it's there, then I'm going to be like, yeah, totally. So I know we're at the cusp of an end of a decade here, but in the beginning or the era of the 2020s, it's just going to totally thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're definitely
HTC
looking
thrive.
Yeah, thrive. We're looking at phase one of VR. VR, when you say gimmick, I usually think of something that's here and then it's going to be gone in a couple of years. VR is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it going. It might not stay for video games, but it's going to stay for other applications.
Yeah. Well, we should kind of move on because I feel more so strong about like AR and MR sticking around than VR, because VR to me is like more of an entertainment, immersive multimedia experience. But from like a, I guess, utilitarian perspective, like a use out of it, it's going to be like MR and AR. And so
why don't you tell me what AR is?
Okay. So yeah, it's kind of interesting, but there's a whole world that goes on out there beyond just VR. AR is augmented reality. And MR is mixed reality. And interestingly enough, I feel like the trend these days is that the word MR is slowly phasing out in our world. And it's kind of going in the general term more so is AR. So, AR is now like the term. No.
Yeah, and to kind of put it into perspective, if everybody remembers Pokemon Go, how you would be able to catch Pokemon in the real world, that's augmented reality.
Yeah.
That's putting digital content into the real world that you can't physically interact with, but you can interact with it on whatever device you're able to view it through.
Yeah. So it's like – it's either like a computer-generated input. It could even be just like sound or video or like GPS data just transmitting. Like if you even go to like a museum and you take an audio tour with those headphones on, technically you're in an AR experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of an overlay of something virtual on the physical.
Mm-hmm. Like the example that I've saw some people using when trying to describe it is like in Avengers, Iron Man's kind of overlay where he has like all the information while he's in the suit and everything. That's kind of AR, is where it's kind of something that is viewed over what reality is, but you can't do anything with it.
Yeah, yeah. Like
– what is it? I think Google Glass technically was AR.
Yeah, Google Glass was AR.
Man.
Anything that supplements reality in a way virtually is AR. But now mixed reality or MR, there's a key difference that I think that people should know, which I think confuses people, is that mixed reality interacts with the real world. So, you know, you have that virtual environment. It's supplementing the real world. It's enhancing what's in front of you. But what you're doing and what you're commanding in the virtual environment causes a direct result or something to happen in the real world. And that's like the key difference between the two.
What do you mean by like how exactly? Like give me an example.
Yeah, I kind of told you this like a bit earlier. We were kind of talking about it, which was like I don't know if this is a good example or not, but kind of like a doctor doing an operation, mm-hmm. right? And he's in the middle of an operation, or she, and they're using like an ultrasound device. Uh-huh. And while they're using the ultrasound device, they're maybe guiding or doing the operation or the procedure. So they're using something that creates a virtual or computer generated image, mm-hmm. but they're using it as they're interacting in the real world with it.
You know, I think I saw something not too long ago about that. I was watching like some medical thing, kind of on the same scale where it was like, you know how you have those heart surgeons, it's like, this is this world-renowned heart surgeon, but he lives in Berlin and you need him in New York kind of thing. It's like, you can't get the service until 12 hours until he flies here. And they were working on something. This is years ago. I saw this, but it was something where the doctor could remote into like a robot.
The Da Vinci robot.
Yes.
Yes.
Could remote into a robot and then yes. he could use the same tools he's using in the real mm-hmm. world, but have his hands somewhere else.
It's a surgical robot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember seeing those things. They could like – you could stitch a grape mm-hmm. with one of those things that are so like finite and mm-hmm. and small. It was like laparoscopic surgery. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was – I was wondering if that was going to be like – if that's something that it, like I guess with the idea of mixed reality, like if we could get to the point where let's say we have a doctor who loses his steady hand or loses the ability of being able to do surgery on his own scale, would he be able to use something where he could – guide it to do the same level of surgery he did before he became disabled. I wonder if that's something we could do. That would be really cool.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I'm sure like those machines have some sort of anti-shaking you know, sensing behavior that, you know.
RIP and peace, Dr. Strange.
I mean, think of the opposite. If the machine had the precision that it would be able to detect the shaking of your hand and simulate that, that I think is way beyond the technology we could get. It's kind of one of those features that they don't mean to be a feature of, yeah, we removed the hand shakiness because they just wouldn't be able to replicate that precise of something.
Mm-hmm. And then one thing that we haven't talked about, which is a cool gadget, which is the Microsoft HoloLens.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because Microsoft kind of avoids the AR versus MR debate because they call – I think they call it – what is it? The holographic technology. They coined their own term of what it is so they could just stay out of the whole conversation altogether, which I think is kind of hilarious.
But isn't technically hologram like it has to be something that requires no exterior item for the person to be wearing? Like it literally has to be like, oh, look, Tupac, you know, kind of thing. Like it has to be shown – like it can't be something like – example, even Star Wars, like literally even those blue beams, you know, you see that now all of a sudden you see Princess Leia in front of you kind of thing. Isn't that technically what holographic is?
I agree because I think in a way Microsoft is just trying to coin a technology or a term.
They're trying to get in there
before a trademarking, you know, in a way.
Trying to get the money before it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Or build a platform, you know, for the next generation or two mm-hmm. of technology. That's how I really feel about it.
Yeah. What was it like? Speaking of HoloLens 1, Microsoft, I want to know where it's at. It's been 3 years.
No, we got a couple at our company.
Yeah, for like business developer use, mm-hmm. you can buy them.
Yeah,
right
you
now.
Can buy a dev kit version.
Cost bajillions.
Well, it's
of dollars.
On the same scale as Google Glass, where you could buy them, but you couldn't get them normally.
So Google Glass kind of went away for a while. And then
Glass is gone.
It's not. No, what? I've done a lot of research on this. Trust me. Because of the HoloLens project that we've been working on at work. Okay. And interestingly enough, okay, Google Glass kind of went back and it stopped using like it for like development or beta use or piloting use or whatever mm-hmm. it was before. And they started getting into enterprise. And you know how Google turned into the company Alphabet in that time? So they turned it into Alphabet. And then they started naming their companies like A, B, C, D, G, F. And they have a company called Company X. Mm-hmm. And Company X hosts the Google Glass product. And the Google Glass product is on It's basically used for enterprise situations. So like certain companies, like manufacturing companies, can use those.
Okay. Have you ever used a Google Glass?
I've never used a Google Glass myself. I've used a HoloLens, and that's pretty much it.
You know, so the funny thing is I had a very inquisitive friend who was in college, and he went to one of the Google Glass events they had in Detroit, and they invited him to buy one right when they were a big thing back in like 2013. Mm-hmm. So the process was you could buy one and you could return it within 2 months and get your money back, and that's totally what he did. Mm. He totally finessed Google out of this. So like – the Google Glass, like from like my own personal experience, it was something that I wholeheartedly, if I could have bought it, I would have. Like it was ridiculous. It was like this little square you had in your top right, like top right peripheral, and it didn't mess with anything you were doing day to day life. You could walk around and forget that you even had a Google Glass on. But if you looked up, it would show you everything. It was crazy how pristine it was. It's like you looked up and you got a Jarvis experience. You would look to the right. Like the top right, and then you would see what the weather was, what time it was, what your battery life was for the Google Glass, your phone. You can even take pictures with it. And like the picture thing was phenomenal because it was – you didn't take just a generic picture.
Yeah, like you
could record a YouTube live. My favorite part is that like even at nighttime, you could take a picture like it was daytime. Like it could be
– so it was good at low light.
Very good
at low light. Because you saw what it saw. You know?
Yeah. It was amazing. Like it was something that like – I wish it would have gone into production because, yes, it would have gone down in price. It would have gone down to maybe Apple Watch territory now where it's like $400, $500. I would have easily paid $500 to have a Google Glass daily. Like you could have told me anything. I would have been like, ooh, really? Sweet. Take I can't talk to you. I'm sorry. I'm too rich for you. Sorry. I'm wearing a Google Glass. Like that's what would have happened.
You could have been one of those like D-bags with a Bluetooth headset in his ear. Like, I'm sorry. I'm on the glass. Like, excuse me.
Yeah, that would have been a great thing because like I would have loved to see the legality behind it because like – you technically couldn't use a Google Glass while driving. You 100% could not.
No.
Because you're looking away. Like you're doing – it's no different than driving.
Well, officer, it is technically a hands-free device.
Yeah. It's like
– it's attached to my glasses. What do you want me to do? Be blind?
Yeah. But no, like it was a phenomenal experience. Like I wish they would have like actually greenlit it to make it more than what it was because I would have loved to see what it would have been if like they would have made like a – Google Glass like 2.0 where like it had a better battery life or if it was something
that
you could.
They did make a 2.0 which is being used for enterprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually just pulled it up because I was completely ready to call Darshan out on this one because I heard nothing. But turns out in July of 2017, Google announced the second iteration just called Google Glass Enterprise Edition. And it is being used at a company everybody should know called Boeing. You know, those people that make planes.
Oh.
It's really cool.
They're making planes with their eyes.
So apparently.
Let me break it down. One of the things that they've done with it at I think Boeing and other companies. There's a whole list of companies at the bottom of the page, I think, right?
But Boeing is the big one that is using it currently.
So they kind of use like a YouTube-esque video player in the display.
Okay.
And they go through like program training for their employees on the assembly line. And so they put the HoloLens in their eye. Or no, I'm sorry, the glass, Google Glass in their
eye. Don't just mention that contraband anymore.
it's muscle memory to say that because, you know, Yeah. So anyways, they put the Google Glass in their eye and it gives them a video playback step-by-step instruction on how to do this and do that. Mm-hmm. You know, put this rivet there, you know, screw this, you know,
it's
screw
like
here.
A, instead of sitting someone in front of a training video or having someone actively train someone, you can have them – they can constantly look back
they
at something.
They learn by doing.
Yeah. Know? And that's the best. Because they have a hands-on approach and they can look up at their manual. You know, you can see it in their eye.
Every ISO certification that you have for an organization, there's always like a training manual that's like next to the machine that you're working on or doing. Mm-hmm. Like you can have that in your eye and just stare at that while you're operating the machine. And then the time it takes for an employee to learn a new machine and, you know, changeover that happens, all that's really important in manufacturing. So it's really cool how that interacts. It's all what we call Industry 4.0, which is the new industry revolution that's, you know, soon to be happening in the next, you know, 20 years or so.
Okay. Yeah. That's really cool. But like, I'm just happy to see anything from it. Cause like,
I thought it was dead
and I was really upset because like,
I don't think it's going to go beyond enterprise or beyond like those companies there, but at least it's being utilized.
I could see if Apple attempts
Apple will attempt an AR headset, and I 100% guarantee you that.
If they attempt it, yeah. Google will break down the doors.
I've already
seen
on The Verge and the rumor mill of AR headsets being patented by Apple.
Oh, I will buy it. Yeah. So quick.
It might not even be Google. The second Apple goes, we're kind of looking into doing AR, Samsung will be like, we have a release thing coming out tomorrow, so yeah. We beat you. Does it work? Shut up. We're
Bixby,
releasing it tomorrow.
Bixby can use it.
So, yeah, like the key thing with like, let's say if a HoloLens were be able to control like a real world system or an environment by doing something,
right.
That would be an NMR situation.
Okay. So back to the HoloLens and how you were saying that they strategically dodged the information or the idea of it. So yeah. Technically speaking, by technical means, HoloLens is AR.
Yeah. It is.
I'm only going off of what I've seen. I have not used it. You obviously can correct me.
But don't
me
forget
when
AR is a kind of like an umbrella term, kind of like VR is, you know?
So like – because like all I remember is obviously from the – when they demoed it at E3 2015, right? Where it showed like, hey, I'm playing Minecraft. Yeah. And they had a square table and they were like playing God, you know, dropping stuff down and like blowing up the world or moving enemies because they could pick it up because the AR was noticing – the HoloLens rather was noticing that you were doing it. And then it was affecting a real world that if someone was just playing it without being, let's say, on a HoloLens, they would still see the reaction.
Oh, yeah. He was like watching Netflix on his wall or something like that, too. Mm-hmm. They were doing a bunch of things. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing from that presentation was when they showed like a game with an alien invasion coming and they were destroying like the set in the virtual world and everything like that when they were trying to, you know, shoot the aliens and they were popping in through the walls. And what you saw through the headset was the entire set was like obliterated of where they were having this conference. Mm-hmm. And it looked very realistic. If you took the headset off, you would have that moment where your brain has to readjust and go, no, that wall doesn't have a giant hole in it, and there isn't an alien right there.
You know, wasn't Apple supposed to be looking into augmented reality? I remember their –
Like I said, in the rumor mill, there was like a patent that I saw.
Well, it wasn't even a patent. Like I could have sworn when they revealed the iPhone X and the iPhone 8 and stuff like that, they were –
Oh, they got a built-in AR chip in there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's just that they haven't utilized it yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Pokemon Go utilizes it. It's the only thing that utilizes the AR chip right now in iPhones.
There's also like a photo chip in there too. And I think like Snapchat, a couple other companies right now use that nice photo chip in there.
Mm-hmm. So.
But either way, I VR technology in general is just developing at a crazy neck-breaking pace. It's incredible.
It's going to be nice to see where it goes. I don't think we're going to hit Ready Player One levels for a while still.
Ain't no way Oasis anytime soon.
I mean, granted, the second that happens, you know, this podcast is going to be in VR constantly.
Dude, the thing that blows me away with Ready Player One is just like, I was looking at it, I was like, okay, sweet. They have an Oasis. Everyone could just tap in. I don't want to know what that server room looks like. I don't want to know what's going on in there because that server room has to be at least four buildings, at least like four like Empire State buildings like, of server rooms.
It's underground, liquid cooled by like the ocean or something.
Literally the same stuff they use in smokestacks to like liquid cooled nuclear energy.
No, it's using one of those boats that Google has some of its remote servers on in the middle of the ocean that literally uses the water to cool it from the ocean. It's perfect.
They literally have it in the Marianas Trench. That's the only way they can call it.
Yeah, but the cool thing about the movie that is the most realistic is how everybody didn't have an Oasis VR headset. They had whatever VR headset they could get.
And they
could
log into it.
Like, they had like the education use VR headsets. Then everybody had different gloves. You could get like cheap just VR gloves, or you could get like high end ones. Then you had like the high end suit where you could feel everything. Mm-hmm. And that is literally where VR is going, is everybody's going to have their own thing and there's going to be those different levels. You want to pay $99 for VR because you already have a Samsung phone? There you go. It's not going to be the perfect experience, but you're going to have something.
Well, let me ask you guys something here, okay? With the kind of dwindling downfall, as we all know, approaching with I guess, social media and Facebook in particular, I guess you guys can say Facebook is not as cool as it used to be.
No.
You know?
No, cool.
Do you guys think that in the future or pretty soon that maybe like a VR chat, but maybe like a Facebook version of VR chat, I mean, where there's an interaction aspect to it?
Have you – so like I'm just asking you this, not like to pry, but have you looked into VR chat at all?
No, not really. Okay. But
it's very close to that.
It's a crazy world. I mean, I've seen the videos because of the memes, but I know what you're talking about a little bit. But do you think that there might be some sort of like new Web 3.0 type of social media platform that might come out in the near future that's kind of like a new Facebook that might incorporate the VR? Because I know that Facebook has been putting a lot of money down on the Oculus. They own the Oculus.
Right.
And they're trying to do that super hard, but we all know that
it's probably not going to be.
It's not. I don't know. The populace is going to be. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, trends change. People's sites change every decade, all the time. It's a generational thing. We all kind of sense that. I mean, look at MySpace, right?
Yeah. You know,
what's MySpace? I mean, you can't talk to a kid about that. They don't even know. Who's Tom?
The weird thing is that, like, out of all of the websites that I would think would be the first to really adopt it and the first that really would execute it well, and I'm not going to mention the name because it is something that don't look at it unless you're over the age of 18. But the website, if you to kind of put it in perspective, it just initials PH. Let's just say that.
Oh, well, okay.
Company, I feel like
– Well, here's the thing
about –
pushed
it the hardest.
It's just like the VCR. It's just like the Blu-ray. It's just like that industry that you are talking about
has pushed a lot of media.
Pushed a lot of
They've
technology.
Also been the deciding factor in which technology wins. VHS Always. Won over Betamax because of that.
Yes.
Blu-ray won over HD DVD.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that like they – so like obviously not going to name drop the website because children might be listening.
Well, we could just say, you know
– I said the initials. That's all I got.
Yeah. It's not even that, but it's the type of content in general. I don't even need to say that. Yeah.
But it's just like that – has probably been the most fluid VR experience that anyone's ever had, like in video, which is kind of weird to say and admit.
I mean, it's the industry that has the most money to throw at
video production.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the tech is cool.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, I thought about a little while back is like, you always see it from the guy's perspective, but never from the girl's perspective.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of weird, right?
Weird,
it is kind of weird, but hey, you know, girls need a little VR too, is all I'm saying.
I guess it would be educational.
It would be educational, even from a guy.
I'm terrible.
These are the smooth moves. Oh, I see.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Going back to your question on the Facebook thing.
let's steer right back on track.
When you say like creating a virtual environment for Facebook and stuff like that, 100%, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
But I don't see it catching on. Because I guarantee that they're going to create something. They're going to push it at the very least. There is not a possibility in the world that I could foresee where they don't do that. Because they've already showed off like the virtual tours or the VR tours with Facebook where Zuckerberg and
– Oh, yeah, and his like emoji version saying like, oh, here are the
– It was like one of the social media managers at Facebook, which is just a stupid title to have because, of course, you're a social media manager if you're working at Facebook.
Right.
But – and they went on this virtual tour of – I can't remember. It was like Africa or something. And of course, they managed to find a way to offend every single person that was viewing it. But it was there. It was a virtual reality tour with them as tour guides in kind of like an emoji form. And so the technology is already there. They showed that they're working on something. Of course, they're going to release that where everybody can jump into this thing and create like a virtual chat room where everybody's their own emoji kind of thing. I don't see it catching on, though.
I kind of feel that with you. I see them doing it, and I see that being a thing.
I guarantee they're doing it.
Will they be the one to kind of have it catch on? That's a question we need to see and ask ourselves in regards to the whole situation that's arising. But who knows?
Yeah, it's more so like I'm thinking of – just think of the average user of Facebook and like will they be able to comprehend what Facebook's trying to do? I'd say that.
That's true. The average user on Facebook is like 25 plus right now, isn't it?
25 plus, and then like, not to slander or say anything bad about anyone, but there are quite a few people on Facebook that I wonder if they can drive a car correctly, kind of thing. So let alone if they launch in form of like VR technology, will it catch on, or will it get some form of flack because of people complaining they won't understand it? Because that's something that they're going to definitely run into with how big Facebook is.
Dude, yeah, you got a good point. I didn't even think about that. Those that are going to probably adopt VR technology and are more likely to are those that are young right now. Mm-hmm. And those that are young aren't really using Facebook at the moment.
Like Facebook's kind of avoided.
Yeah,
like
it's avoided. Yeah.
It's Twitter right now. And, you know, Tumblr's still a thing. I don't think that'll ever die. But Reddit.
Tumblr to me is kind of cringy, but that's just
It's cringy. Yeah. It's a lot of, let's say, teenagers' diaries. Yeah. Let's say that.
Yeah. It used to be you remember Zynga? Was it Zynga Journal? Live Journals?
Journals. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. So it's good old times. It's everyone's diary and also like a weird format where you can see almost anything if you even needed to. But like it's just like Reddit. Reddit is the place where people are right now. Anyone can get on Reddit and they can see whatever they want and do whatever they want because it's something for everyone there.
Yeah, Reddit is the only site where their demographic is everyone. We don't have a demographic.
It's the fourth most visited site in the United States. Yeah. That's so funny to me that people still don't know about it, but it's the fourth most visited site.
I probably go on Reddit. Me personally, I'm on there at least. Like if I'm at home, it's always open.
Dude, it's a sick cycle for me. It's a muscle memory situation. Dude, I'll take the app, open it, and I get sick of it. I close it out. And what do? Instinctually open it up again.
You know,
more than I do like any other thing, even more than Facebook.
It doesn't matter what it is. I can forget people's birthdays faster than I can remember when Reddit Secret Santa's starting.
You do the Secret Santa?
Every year.
I think my favorite thing with Reddit is going, man, there's nothing good on Reddit. I wonder what's on Reddit, right?
Yeah,
hold on a minute.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Totally.
But yeah, if Reddit came out with their own kind of VR system, that's the one that would start pushing people.
It might be cringy too.
I mean,
or if they had
that's pretty much VR chat though.
You mean like a Reddit viewer in VR?
No, like a Reddit kind of chat room kind of thing, like a VR chat, but made by Reddit and everything. But then I have a feeling it would just become VR chat again.
Yeah, you know, and the weird thing is even like circling back down to VR chat, when the time was coming when it was like super like, you know, meme-y and everyone's getting on it because of what was going on, I sat there some of the nights. I would just – because you don't have to like have a VR headset to use it. You can use it with just a regular computer if you want to.
Oh, really?
Okay. And like I sat there and like it was just nice to talk with people. Like I sat there like – it felt like I was in a chat room in 2005.
What's that old game that they had back in the day that was kind of similar to – it's like an open world and you could be whoever
RuneScape?
You want. Not RuneScape.
Habbo?
You could like dress up like
a Second Life.
Second Life.
There we go. Okay.
Second Life, yeah. It's kind of like the new version of Second Life to me.
That's what it felt like. And it was crazy because like there was nights where I would sit there with me and a friend and we would just ask really odd questions, but like a question everyone's having. You know, like a question that like if you were to ask that to someone like let's say in front of you or someone you're face to face with, you probably would either get a weird look or just be like, what's wrong with you? But like I could do that and ask that question with someone and not even be weird about it, but just get an honest opinion because there's no technicality behind it. There's no emotion. It's like you could ask something like, excuse my language on this, was like, do you think Hitler did anything wrong? Like you could have that question and then someone's like, no. I don't think he did. And like you would have that genuine question and kind of peek into someone's mind of what they're saying because they don't care or they know
there's no repercussion.
Yeah, nothing's
because it's still an anonymous platform of sorts.
Yeah.
So I think that's what was kind of cool and what was so important in regards to Ready Player One is that there was an anonymity aspect in regards to the Oasis, which is – and that's why Artemis was like, you don't reveal your real name
there. That was one of the rules of the game is you never tell somebody your real name.
That's what made it so cool and to use is because, you know, you're kind of anonymous.
Crazy in the movie. I'm not going to spoil it. You know, the movie's been out for
a while. We already did spoilers last week.
Kind of spoiler. Like when he said his name, she's like, well, you don't say your name in the game. And then, you know, 10 minutes later in the movie, he was found out because he said his name. So it's just crazy to think like that. So
I mean, yeah, who knows? That can be like a real thing, you know? Oh,
that's a chat. Problem yeah. on the internet already.
Right. Like if you put your full name on the internet, like Facebook is enough right now. Like you, if you're someone finds your Facebook, someone can find your stuff.
You're indexable on the internet, your search engine.
Yeah. Yeah, the moment somebody can cross-reference your username to your actual name, it's done. You might as well create a new identity for yourself in the real life.
Yeah.
You know?
Or just die.
That's what most people end up doing.
Just get a new citizenship in a different country under a different name.
Move to Canada, become a lumberjack, never touch the internet again.
Yeah.
Universal healthcare, hey.
If you kind of just sneak into Canada, I don't think you count for universal healthcare. What's your name? Lumberjack. Do you have a last name? I didn't plan this through.
It's like, my name's Bruce Wellington. Nice to meet you.
First name Jack, last name Lumber.
I was like, wait, what? So,
but that is VR. So, out of all the VR options out there currently, which one would you suggest people go for, Ferris?
I would recommend, if you have a Samsung phone, obviously pick up the Samsung VR. It's great price point. You'll get a very basic understanding of how VR works and probably want to explore further. If you're someone who doesn't have a lot of money to spend on VR, go for PlayStation VR. Like, you can easily break into that for $800, have a great experience with it, and something that you can show off to friends and they'll be wowed every time you see it. So,
what about you, Darshan?
I think it would depend on the experience that you're trying to go for. I think that if you're looking for like a more gaming side aspect of it, definitely the PlayStation VR. If you're looking for like, you know, the VR chat experience or the social interaction or things like that, then maybe the HTC Vive. It's kind of like I said, it's going to be interesting to see in the future what's going to be coming out hardware wise. These headsets are less dependent on, you know, mobile devices, and they're more independent. They have their own built-in screens and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have their own built-in batteries coming out soon. So they're all like standalone on the
That's
head.
Right. That's something we didn't
– We barely even talked about what's new that's coming out. I think you said that there's a new one.
Yeah. We have the Vive 2, I think is what they're calling it, or the Vive Pro. And that's the one with the battery pack on it. So you no longer have a giant wire hanging off the back of your head. And that's a problem with a lot of the VR systems is you have – the Oculus has cables that you need to have plugged into it to have it work. Same with PlayStation VR. You need to have a giant cable hanging.
Oh, you need a cable? Yeah.
Yeah, because that one has it's not battery powered. Mm-hmm. And HTC Vive, the new one that's coming out, even has like the headphones on it and everything. So it's fully a single device that you don't need to have wired into anything else.
So yeah, like I said, as these, you know, HMDs get more standalone, and they're less dependent on other hardware, and the eye tracking capabilities improve on them, I really think that it's going to be a much more enjoyable experience. And especially on the cusp of a new decade here, in this new decade, it's going to just skyrocket like no other, and you're going to see it everywhere, you know. And yeah, I think from a personal choice, I might pick the PS4 VR version or the HTC Vive. I'm not a real big fan of you know, the Google
cardboard
or the Samsung thing or you know, the more low end type of ones.
Yeah, I gotta. If you were looking
for Oculus for example, you know.
Yeah, if you're getting into VR for the first time and want to know, I agree with Ferris 100% that Samsung VR. If you already have a Samsung phone, or you have an Android-based phone, because it works with most Android phones. They actually have the little foam kind of filters to put in there to make it so your phone will fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you have USB-C or USB micro, it comes with both adapters, I believe, still. Mm-hmm. And that gives you a first glance into VR to see if you want to look into it further. And the cool thing is, actually, when I was in New York City last year, I went to the Samsung store and they had the VR experience set up where you were in a seat that actually moved with the game you were playing. And it was just kind of like a little space shooter where you're going through mountains and stuff like that. And it, even though it's just a small headset, when you add those little things on the outside, the immersive experience just from that alone is spectacular. And I can't wait to see what they do with future things like the treadmill kind of devices that allow you to walk and everything while you're in a VR headset, which is something that's been shown for a while now, but it's just now picking up as something that people can actually theoretically purchase for home use.
I think I'll see that more in like kind of like an arcade or something like that, where you can like get a bunch of friends and kind of like a Dave and Buster's kind of thing, where you can like rent out a room, like, or laser tag, or like, you know, have a bunch of your friends like join in on these stations, these battle stations, and kind of do like an FPS in a VR environment on these running pads. I can see that totally. I can see that being a franchisable business.
Oh yeah,
I've been wondering where they've been going with that. Like, because I've been seeing it a couple times too. Like, I dabble into CES here and there, and just like I see it, and it's gone again.
It's mostly the price. It's just so high price to get one of those. In theory, most, you know, businesses wouldn't be able to afford doing one as like an arcade unit, and having just one wouldn't be able to bring in the money to pay for it. They would need to have multiples to have friends play it. It's just not a viable thing, but we're getting closer to it being a viable thing. That's why you keep seeing it. It popped up in CES and then it was gone for like 2 years, and then it popped in again, and then it was gone for a year. And we've now been seeing it steadily the last like 3 years it's been at CES.
It's each company.
From different companies,
too. Yeah, different companies, different iterations of the technology, different ways of doing it.
Like, I can tell you right now, like, the best thing you can do for any form of technology, release it to China, let China touch it. The moment you do that, you'll get your sales. And the moment you do that, you can launch it wherever you want to in the world. If one popular person does it, China wants it, and it's done. Like, iPhones, hot commodity there.
Yeah, same with eight. Yeah, it's hot.
Just film one video with Will Smith using it. Release it in China. Just give it to one single person in China and just have it on their phone and go, hey, did you see this? All of a sudden, everybody needs one.
Yeah, literally, you'll see it on the bus. You'll see the bus navigated by it. So,
but yeah, that is all the time that we have here on the breakfast table. But as always, you can catch our backlog of episodes on Google Play and on iTunes. And you can catch us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Until next time, this is the breakfast table.